The Sand Geeks. We are the Sand Geeks.
Hello, geeks. Welcome to episode 75 of the Sand Geeks podcast. We are proudly sponsored by the excellent Kajal Perfumes, who you can find at kajalperfumes.com. You see what they've done there? They've created a website that makes it super easy for you to find them. It's just their name and .com. It couldn't get better, kajalperfumes.com. So well done, Kajal. I mean, that's great marketing. Anyway, if you want to check anything out from Kajal, their link is in the Facebook group, The Scent Geeks Podcast, so you can go there. And if you click through the link and use code GEEKS10, you get 10% discount. How good is that? So stay tuned for more details, and we will let you know how you can enter this month's giveaway, where you can either win a full bottle of a Kajal perfume or a discovery set. With that said, I would like to introduce my co-host as usual. It is the beautiful Steve from the YouTube channel Frags to Riches. Hi, Steve.
Hello. Wow, that was a beautiful intro, mate. Thank you. How are you doing? You're right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm all right. I think I'm a little wired because I don't usually have a coffee this time of night, but I made some nice Colombian coffee, which actually I should say, a friend of ours from Colombia, who is on Instagram as Fragtastico and has a YouTube channel, who we've discussed before, he very kindly sent me some Colombian coffee. So I made it yesterday, didn't finish it, and I just had a little bit left in the pot. And I thought, I can't let that go another day. So I heated it up in the mic, and I've just had it. So I think I'm feeling, I'm feeling like my engine's revving, mate. I'm ready for it.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. When you said you had some sort of Colombian coffee, I thought it's potentially a euphemism for, you know, like I thought, Chris, it's like, obviously there's another YouTuber that gets a bit of grief because people...
Fighting up on a bit of the Colombian good stuff, mate. Yeah. Yep.
There's a YouTuber that people suspect might be on the Colombian coffee, but it's only hearsay. But so I did wonder, but fair play. No, it is actual coffee. So
yeah, no, I'm good. I'm also buzzing because we've had a super weekend. We dodged the rain. There was rain forecast. We had a camping trip, and we thought we were just going to get rained on through the night and packing up the tent this morning, but the rain never came. So we did this little cycling trip. We just cycled a few miles. We've got a really nice disused railway system around York, which they've turned into a cycle path. And it just takes you through the countryside. It's beautiful. So we went down there and found this campsite, and we just pitched up. So we've been doing this lightweight camping thing. We've got this like super lightweight tent, really quick to put up, and like, you know, stove. So I've got my AeroPress coffee maker, and love it. Great trip. Went to a pub for dinner, had a good burger. I sprayed my ankle in the pub because I was running around playing TIG with the kids, and I said to them, "See these divots in the ground here? Be careful, they'll get your ankles." 2 minutes later, what did I do? Got my ankle. So there we go. I had to limp back to the campsite, and Evie fell in a bunch of nettles and herself like from head to toe. So we dodged the rain, but we didn't fully dodge pain. So, but we're all good. We're all smiling. We've had a good time. So,
bless her. It's funny when that happens. A few weeks ago, when we went away for the bank holiday weekend, my brother came and joined us, and me, him, and the boy were playing on this adventure park thing. And before we went up there, I said, "Be careful, mate, because there's a lot of low beams. Don't like sort of twat your head. I've done it once; it really hurts. Like, just be careful." He's like, "Yeah, no worries." Yeah. He went up one way, I went up another way, and he was sort of chasing the boy playing like it or like tag or whatever you want to call it. And then he got up to stairs and he was just holding his head. And he went, "Oh, mate." He's like, "I know you warned me, but fucking hell, I've just twatted my head." And he's like, "I feel like I'm about a foot shorter." It was just like, I warned you.
So, he was probably thinking, funny. When you were telling him, he was probably thinking, whatever.
Yeah,
I'm not
whatever. Yeah, exactly. Honestly, because the trouble is, because he was chasing him as well, he was like climbing up this ladder like full pelt. So proper like went into this beam. It was like, cool, blimey. But anyway, so have you had a good Father's Day as well?
Oh yeah, God, it's Father's Day, isn't it? Yes.
Indeed, mate. How could I mean? You've obviously not been on Facebook or Instagram or anything because that's all you fucking see.
Well, I know. I did do a Father's Day little funny video that I uploaded today, a bit like one of your little comedy shorts, actually. So I did that, but yeah, unfortunately, my family got a little sort of carried away with the camping and you know forgot it was Father's Day this morning. So I just sat having a coffee. I got up before them, got out of the tent and brewed up my coffee and sat there drinking that and wished myself a happy Father's Day and made a video about it. So there we go.
Yeah, but that sounds quite nice. Like saying like you've had a nice family trip or whatever. It's quite good.
It was great. How was your Father's Day?
Yeah, it's good. We sort of did some more things yesterday because we knew it was going to rain here today. So we sort of went out yesterday to like a little country park, theme park. We went to Wicksteed Park, which is lovely. And we had a really, really lovely day out actually. Like, kids were really well behaved and we kind of got some rides and it was a really, really good day. It was like lovely. And then today we've sort of had a bit of a movie day. We watched one of the new Disney movies, like Luca, I think it's called.
Yeah. I wanted to watch that, but yeah, we didn't have time to do that. Maybe we'll do that another weekend, but yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, no, it's really nice. What I should do as well is I did this on Mother's Day, so fair's fair. Shout out to all of the fathers out there, but also all of the people, as we sort of said before, this is one of those difficult days of the year if you don't have a father or they're missing or you're not in contact or whatever, you know, they're not there anymore. Or if you're a wannabe father, etc. So shout out to all those people that also don't have a dad for whatever reason or can't be a dad or trying to be a dad or whatever. Because this is one of those days. It's great when it's all tickety-boo, but yeah, when you see your Facebook feed that's full of like happy Father's Day things. Trouble is, I'm one of these people as well that I don't really believe in posting all that shit all over Facebook. I think just tell the person. I've always had.
Yeah,
it's
I'm
like,
the same. Absolutely.
It's weird when people go, oh, to the best dad. It's like, well, just go and tell them. You don't need to broadcast it. And it's the same. It's funny, people do that, don't they? When they post on Facebook and they'd be like, to the woman in the Tesco car park that hit my car. And I think, are you friends with her then? Is she reading this post? It's a funny fucking thing.
Oh, yeah, they're right. To my mum, you know, oh, mum, you were there for me from the very beginning. And then, you know, the mum probably doesn't read Facebook. So, and they're just writing that for other people to see. It's kind of, it's a weird thing.
Facebook's a weird thing.
I don't do much Facebook these days. I just find it like weird that people want to, you know, Facebook has become like a shrink for people. You know, they'll put opinions on there and they'll put how they're feeling because they want that. You know, they're fishing for attention or compliments, or I mean, I guess if that helps people, that's good. But I just I feel a bit funny about the whole Facebook how people use Facebook these days. So I don't.
It is weird, like, because people do it with kids as well, and they go, oh, to my little boys, like, we're so proud of you. And I'm like, well, fucking tell him then. Why are you telling us?
Yeah.
I'm sure you're proud of him. I don't doubt it. Just fucking go and tell him. Jesus. But yeah, we're just bitter old men now, basically. Yeah. This is grumpy old men podcast.
Really? Yeah. You know, they're showing off, aren't they? You know, they're like, oh, you know, my kid has done this. Aren't they great? You know, isn't my kid brilliant? And therefore, I'm a brilliant parent because I raised them. Sort of, you know, maybe I'm not. Yeah, cynical look way of looking at it, but
yeah. But talking of kids, something I did do yesterday, I did, so I think I've mentioned to you off the podcast, but my boy started karate a few weeks ago now.
Has he kicked your ass yet?
And, well, I now do it with him. So it's a little like dad-son thing that we do together now, which is quite cute. So I did karate. I did a martial art, like, I don't know, literally like 25 years ago or something like that. So I've got vague recollections of it, but so it's funny to kind of get back into it. But yeah, he started doing it and I thought, I'm standing there and the sensei kept trying to get like the dads and the parents involved. So in the end, I just sort of succumbed. So I now do it with him, which is quite cute. But I was like, I was puffing. I was getting a sweat on the other day, but did get a compliment, mate.
On my karate skills,
but also on my fragrance.
Right. Yeah, what was it? High karate?
That would have been brilliant, wouldn't it? I should have done that. I should wear that. No, she sort of came over and she was like, oh, which one of you is wearing a nice aftershave, is what she called it.
Wow.
And and I was
that's,
like,
that's confidence there. I was like, not many people would say that.
Well, indeed. I was like, that's probably me. And there was probably a 5-year-old there that probably had like Sauvage on. That's what she was actually smelling. But I was like, yeah, that's probably me. She's like, oh, I thought it was one of these kids. And I was wearing Mont Blanc Explorer, mate. That is...
Oh, that's your compliment king, isn't it?
It is. It absolutely is my number one most complimented fragrance. It's the only fragrance that I have got quite a lot of unsolicited compliments from strangers. Like, because whenever I talk about compliments, normally it's from people I know, maybe people I work with, but mostly the wife. Obviously more so now since COVID and lockdown, etc. But yeah, to get an unsolicited compliment from a stranger, that's done really well for me, that fragrance.
It must really work well with your skin chemistry.
It must, honestly, because I got that obviously epic compliment in that cafe that time. I got another compliment in the like a petrol station garage when I went to pay for fuel. She was like, "Oh, someone's smelling good," and I've got compliments at work from a few different people. Yeah. In the office,
your body's like whenever you spray it on, your body's like, "Oh, he's spraying that thing on again. Yeah, let's make Steve smell awesome. Come on, guys, let's do it."
It is one of those things. It just works. But I've always said that, I mean, I don't want to talk about Aventus again. We've done this to death, but Aventus is one of those fragrances that I think whenever I smell it on other people, I always think, "Oh, it's, that smells really good. That it does smell really good." But whenever I wear it, it's never
doesn't hit the spot quite
as much. No, it's never quite the same. I'm like, "Oh, it's just not as good as when I smell it on other people."
Yeah, it's a different experience to wear it. You're right, I think. And people often talk about getting an osmic to Aventus. Maybe it's that. Maybe it just, I don't know, maybe when you catch it in the air, you know, when you catch Sillage, it's sort of
better.
It's almost like a deeper, richer sort of smell than when you smell it on yourself.
I definitely think it's the sort of fragrance that's better in the Sillage, but I think Mont Blanc Explorer, obviously it's got some subtle differences, the bergamot instead of the pineapple, but that just really works for me. I sort of did a video once and I was saying that, you know, this fragrance makes me want to quit because this is it. I remember I said my boy literally put one spray on the back of his neck once, and then when my wife went to pick him up from nursery, that he was getting compliments, apparently. They were like, "Oh God, he smells really good." We've all been saying how good he smells. So we're like, "Bloody hell."
So if you wear it, do you wear it a lot? I mean, you know, you've been talking about this for a while now. Have you nearly drained the bottle, or are you on a second bottle? Or?
No, I'm still on the original bottle because I don't actually wear it like loads, but it's one of those ones, if I want like a safe fragrance that is also kind of manly, for example, as such, I'd go for that. So like I've got some customer meetings on Tuesday, and my sort of sales manager, general manager of the company, is actually coming out with me to join me, so it's, you know, he's, I've got to sort of make a half decent impression, so I might wear that or Leighton, just from a confidence point of view. But it depends on the weather, but I might. It's just one of those ones that makes it just, yeah, it works. But
it's probably one of your cheapest as well, isn't it? One of your most affordable fragrances.
Yeah, absolute. It's like less than a 20, 30 quid you can get it for nowadays, I think.
Mine to Nigel from Two Cents Worth, but every time I talk to you, I think, "Oh, I should buy it. I should get it again."
Mate, that is, I mean, I actually prefer it to Aventus, but it so works. And George did a video, didn't he? He said, you know, if you want compliments, just get Explorer. It is an absolute compliment machine. So. Yeah. But anyway, how's things? Shall we? Right, we've done that. Shall we do some?
Well,
formerly known as Podmint.
Yeah. Well, I don't even want to say it if I'm on. Actually, thank you for being the being an honest person of integrity and admitting.
Yeah.
After you challenged me live on the podcast last week and accused me of coming up with that filthy little word. You were the culprit.
I was. Well, it appeared, and I looked back, and that was the first time. And then I think you, and then in the set, it was the episode after that, it sort of stuck, because I think I mentioned it, and then you used the word. So then I think from then on in, it was like we both just kept using it. But yeah, because off
Alan
the
Partridge
podcast,
thing to say, isn't it?
Off the podcast, I think I even said to, I was like adamant. I was like, "No, one, definitely you, Chris. Definitely 100% you, absolutely." And I was adamant. And then when I heard that, I was like, "Fuck, it's me."
Fuck. Yeah.
So anyway, I've got a new name for this section. This section is now the audience recognition section, which I'm shortening to ARS.
Arse.
So this is the ARS section, audience
Love
recognition
it.
Section.
Yeah.
So. That said, there isn't much arse to do, to be honest, because we've still not had any coffees. People have just not buying us any coffee at all. If you want to, you can go to ko-fi.com/thescentgeeks, all one word, and you can buy us a coffee, and we put that sort of the money towards, well, a coffee and also posting fees and things like that.
Yes. If you want more arse, buy us a coffee and you get more arse.
Do.
There you go. It's simple as that.
Yeah, because I forgot to cancel the free trial for the software that we used last week with Dan, and I've got charged for that. So that's
how much?
Not too quid? Bad, because, yeah, 20 quid, because it's 20 quid a month, I think. So I got a payment, and then I've cancelled it. And then, annoyingly, they've just, like, cancelled my account. And I think, well, no, give me the month. I want the full month.
Yeah, they do that. You've got to sort of...
wait till the end of the month.
Wait till the end, and then you might forget again.
Yeah, that's the thing, sneaky fuckers.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what I thought I'd do is I'll reach in to the Facebook group, because there's just a couple of little posts in there that I thought I'd maybe shout out if I can for the arse.
Sure.
One of them actually sort of is also duplicates as a general reminder that the Facebook podcast group is should be about podcast and its content. So if there's anything we've discussed and you want to continue that on, share your opinion or make suggestions for content, by all means do. There's been a few kind of post in there where I feel bad for policing it, but if we don't, it's just going to turn into one of the many it'll, other vagrants groups.
It'll get people, out of hand.
Yeah, and people then, are just like, oh, what's this fragrance like? And it's, you know, I get it, but there's loads of groups for that. But so that said, one culprit of this, so I'm actually going to shout out purely because it's a fragrance that I wouldn't mind smelling. So Colin Murphy actually put a post asking if anybody smelled Lalique White in Black, and the only reason I'm actually mentioning this is because apparently it smells like Parfum de Marly Leighton, which is, as we know, is one of my favourites. So I now want to get my nose on that to see if it smells like it, or even better, could it smell better? Could it be an improved version of Leighton?
Well, interestingly, Lalique White is said to smell like Parfum de Marly's Galloway, so I wonder if they're going for a whole PDM little cloney thing going on here. What do you reckon?
I don't know.
I've not smelt Lalique White, if I'm honest, but I think people say Galloway's, you know, better.
I think I'm gonna have to pull the trigger on this and buy a bottle, because it's either not gonna smell like it, or it's just gonna be not as good, or there's a chance it might be like even better. So I've got to try it. So I need to.
I think the name's a bit weird. Lalique White in Black, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah, when I saw the bottle is kind of got like a sort of chalkboard thing, so it comes with a little pencil and you can draw on the bottle and stuff. I don't know what that is all about. It's a bit,
I guess, gimmicky. It could sort of have brighter, lighter notes and then darker notes as well, like maybe it's sort of a contrast, got contrasts in there, so I guess Leighton does, doesn't it? Yeah, it's got some spiciness and some depth.
So I'll try it. So if I get a bottle or a sample, I'll see. The trouble is with I've never tried any Lalique fragrance, but I sense that's probably going to be one that drops in price quite a bit in a few months' time. So
yeah,
it might be worth waiting, but I'll see what I can do. Chris Carter's posted in there. I don't know if you remember, ages ago he did a little fragrance fail about his Fabaloo. I think that had that was quite amusing.
That's
so
a good one. Yeah.
He actually shared a little post in there. He said he went to his in-laws' house, and he went in the toilet, and they had a couple of Fabaloos, and he shared a photo, and he said it sort of bring back nightmares, bring back memories. It's like they were trolling him, so that kind of made me laugh. Also, Joel Walmsley, he's followed up. He's done his own fact check here. Obviously, there's a couple of fact checks in last week's episode, but he's done his own here. So he posted, because we discussed about the origin of the word cologne. So Joel's kind of helped us out here. He said, cracking episode again today, chaps. Indeed, the word cologne does come from the city of origin. You probably have evidence of this on your shelves in the form of 4711. We've discussed this before. I don't know if it's 4711 or 4711. But oh god, I'm going to butcher this now. It's Echt Kölnisch Wasser. It has been a long time since I did GCSE German, he says, but I think that means original/real cologne water. Here's a pick of mine, and I think it'll be today's scent of the day in honor of the podcast. So
cool.
There you go. It's just a little. So he's fact checking us there. So that, I think that's probably all we've got for arse this week. So look forward to more arse next week.
Right. Okay. Moving on then. God, I'm thrown now. Where are we up to?
What have you been wearing? What have you been wearing,
yes,
Mister?
All right. What have I been wearing? Right. So I've been wearing I got a compliment from my wife on this.
Ooh.
Yeah. And this is from the first bottle that I had, Matthew Melleg very kindly sent to me, and it's called Very Cherry Chocolate Rose Patchouli. So can you guess what's in that one?
Hold on, that's the name of the fragrance. Very Cherry Chocolate Rose Patchouli.
Yep.
Wow.
That's the name.
I mean, that's on the nose,
so
isn't it?
So it's got cherry, chocolate, rose, and what's the other one? Patchouli in it.
Yeah, I mean, who made that? Ron Seal? Jesus. Like, that's what it says on the tin, doesn't it? Jeez.
It fucking does, mate. But it's good. I mean, it's not like an over... Cherry can be very prominent and overpowering, but it's like a smooth, lovely, rich, deep cherry with some sort of chocolatey nuances, a bit of a jammy rose, but it's not too much, and, you know, not too pinky or feminine. But I put it on, and not long after, I went downstairs, and Helen said, "Ooh, what? I can smell that you're wearing. That's a good one." So then I sprayed some on her as well, and she thoroughly enjoyed it. So very much looking forward to exploring that.
And who's that by, sorry?
Meleg Perfumes, Matthew Meleg. Okay. He's based in Vancouver. He's an indie perfumer, self-taught. Doesn't play by the rules, just does his own thing. Quite artistic. But this is one of, I'd say, the more wearable, mass-appealing fragrances that he's done. So closer to the sort of stuff you might like, Steve, because I know that, you know, if things are too creative and artistic, you like them, but not necessarily to wear them as a fragrance.
Yeah, I mean, there's numerous examples of that where I've really like the smell, but I don't necessarily want to wear it, or I really find it interesting and I enjoy smelling it, but again, I don't necessarily want to smell of it. So
yes,
that's
some of the challenges
I get. It's like, yeah, well, I think, oh, this smells amazing, but I just don't want to smell like that. So.
Well, interestingly, he sent me another one called, I've forgotten the name. Temple of something or other. And this is definitely a bit more creative and artistic, very animalic. I'm drawn to it. I kept wanting to go back to smell it, but I don't yet know whether it's because I'm bewildered that anyone would sort of want to wear this thing on their skin, or whether sort of some part of my brain is attracted to it. I've not worked that out yet. So I've got more. It's one of those I need to process a bit more. But it's fascinating me at the moment. Both of them are, but definitely the very cherry one is out the bottle, very wearable.
So it's a fragrance that I want to smell, but I think it might be one of those ones that I really like smelling but not smell of. And it's from Pocket Scents, who traditionally do sort of inspired or clone, but they do some original creations, and they've got chocolate orange.
Oh, that's lovely, yeah.
Yeah, and I love... Have you smelled that fragrance, have you?
I have it, yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't even smell that, because I like orange mandarin, and I like the smell of chocolate, and I regularly will scoff a Terry's chocolate orange. So, I think that might be one, though, that I just smell and go, oh, this is lovely, but I don't know if I want the smell of chocolate orange. I don't know.
Actually, I'm just going to fact check myself now, because I don't have it. I think Matt sent me a sample once to smell. I have Purple Gourmand. That's the one that I have a bottle of, which is another sort
very
of
good
sweet.
One. Very good original creation, yeah.
I've also been wearing from Jacques Fat Perfumes Vers le Sud, which is a Cécile Zarrocki creation. A little bit sort of, it's got a bit of fig leaf in there. It's some bright citruses, so it's a bit fruity, a bit bright and marine notes in there. So reminds you of the seaside, bit of suntan lotion. Lovely. Armaf Milestone. I've not worn that in a minute. And you know what? I put it on this week. And I actually wore it I often wear things for the gym because it's just an opportunity to sort of test things out. And sometimes the guys in the gym mention what I'm wearing, so it's a nice little bit of testing ground. So I put Milestone on and I bloody loved it. I had a right old time wearing that. I was doing my reps and I was thinking, man, I'm enjoying this. More so than when I last wore it, and more so than what my memory of Millesim Imperial was. But of course, George, the fragrance apprentice, whose favourite fragrance of all time is Creed's Millesim Imperial, has actually said that Milestone from Armaf is closer to the sort of earlier batches that he likes of Millesim Imperial than current Creed Millesim Imperial. So Milestone's a good one. I just must have been in the mood for it that day, but the notes just really resonated and I enjoyed it thoroughly. I also wore Dior Cologne. You know that one because that's the same as the Mercedes-Benz one that you've got.
Yeah, that's an absolute banger, though.
It's just a simplicity perfectly executed is what I describe that fragrance as. It's nicely done. And lastly, one that might pique your interest, well, may or may not pique your interest. Did you know, and I this sort of, my shock and surprise at this fact is I caught it on camera when I was doing a video this week. So my Wednesday video is me getting genuinely shocked on camera because I didn't know that the Chronic from Byron Parfums has flankers. Did you know this?
I don't think so.
Yep, it's got some flankers, mate. It's got two that I know of. So I unboxed and sprayed and smelled the Chronic Rouge Extreme. So they did Muller Muller Rouge Extreme, the flanker, and they have the Chronic Rouge Extreme. And they do a Chronic Narcotic as well, which is in a blue bottle. So the Chronic Rouge Extreme is a red bottle.
Talk to me then. What are they like? Yeah. What's it like to the original? So, what's the crack? I need the breakdown on this.
It's quite different. It's not as woody. It's not as woody as the original, but it's got the sweetness. It's got the sort of gourmandy sweetness, cinnamony sweetness. But rather than going down this woody route, it's a bit fruitier. So it's sort of more red fruits, more like a red fruit salad fused with a bit of the Chronic DNA. So you've got this sort of caramelized woody fruitiness, I would describe it as. First impressions, because I've only worn it once, and it wore well on me, actually. I enjoyed it.
I mean, obviously they're all unisex, but do you think this one is on the spectrum of unisexuality, is a bit more towards the feminine end?
Or, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, not like, you know, not in a way that I wouldn't wear it at all, but yes, more so than the original, which I think does lean perhaps masculine, if you're going to break things down into sexes. And yes, I think that Rouge Extreme is a little more towards the feminine side of the scale, of the spectrum. But I'm not sure about, I'm intrigued about the Narcotic one now.
So you've not tried that one then?
It's got coffee in it. I haven't tried it. Well, I looked at the notes and I thought, it's going to be this like narcotic white floral bomb, but it doesn't quite seem to be that from what I can see of the notes. It's got coffee in it, so I'm really interested to smell it now. Because I love a coffee, as you know.
Yeah, well, indeed. We've sort of spent 5 minutes at the start of the podcast discussing it.
Well, that's, I know. Interesting. Yeah. All right, what have you been wearing?
Well, by sheer coincidence, today I've been wearing the Chronic for the first time in quite a while, actually. So, yeah, I don't know why I reached for it. I think probably the weather's been a bit warmer recently, but today was cooler and it was a bit rainy. And I thought, it's a Father's Day. I'm going to go for a nice sort of snuggly, comforting fragrance that I just really enjoy. So, and it's, I can still smell it now. So it's, again, obviously we've discussed the beastly performance from that. So yeah, still thoroughly enjoying that fragrance. What else have I been wearing? Actually, I've been wearing a few of my favourites this week. So I remember wearing Leighton as well this week. Obviously, I've got my compliment on Montblanc Explorer. Just trying to think what else. I did wear, I have been trying a new one, which was sent to me. So I'm still working my way through the samples that Kev at Merseyscents, the YouTube channel, sent me. And it is Ferragamo's Aqua, is it International Blue? I can't remember what it is now. Okay. Let me have a look.
Yep. It's, don't know it.
Yeah, it is. The trouble is with these sort of fragrances, it's basically a shower gel type fragrance. Mm. But I actually really like it. I think it's like really, really nice.
I mean, shower gel's made to smell nice, isn't it? Clean and refreshing. So, I mean, you know, it wouldn't be any good if you put shower gel on and it smelled horrible. So shower gel's not, I guess,
they sort of struggle to try and find the uniqueness, or it's hard to stand out when you're kind of in that general sort of genre. But it's actually a really nice smelling. I actually think it's quite a cheap fragrance as well. It's quite a good cheapie. I think you can get it for sort of less than £30. It's obviously in the same ilk as Bleu de Chanel, etc. But it's probably a little bit more aquatic. But I still feel, even though it's cheap, it's kind of got some quality to it. It feels quite shower gel-ish, but quite fresh and clean. And it feels like it's quite good quality, really. So I'm sort of pleasantly surprised by it, actually. I'm just going to check out what the name is, and I might just shout that out in a minute. But yeah, so that's pretty much me, really. But I don't know if I've been wearing anything else.
Okay, cool. Well, I mean, you know, we've managed to crowbar some good frag talk in.
Oh, it's,
I think.
I was close. So it's Ferragamo's, it's Aqua Essentiale Blue. So I know there's Aqua Essentiale, and this is the flanker to that. So the blue one. I've not smelled Aqua Essentiale or many from Ferragamo, in all honesty. But
well, I've only smelt one, and it is Uomo's Signature, and that is like a coffee, sweet gourmand fragrance, and it's great. It's really lovely. I feel like generally they get quite positively talked about from what I've seen of the Salvatore Ferragamo, because they're very affordable, aren't they, as well? So I think lots of people like that. They're like, we all like to.
I mean, I would say this is a nice affordable alternative to a lot of the blue fragrances. So you're going to smell good. You might pick up a compliment or two. I think it works really well in the summer. I'm smelling it now on my wrist. It's actually like really nice.
Damn, really, you're making me want to try this thing now.
Yeah, no, it's got Ambroxan in. It's got benzoin, or benzoin, as some people say. So it's got some of those sort of mass appealing kind of accords that we're sort of used to sort of smelling in those type of fragrances. But yeah, no, it's actually really very pleasant. I'm going to give it a good few proper wearings. I might even pick up a bottle if I can get it cheap enough.
Speaking of sort of bright summery fragrances, there's a bit of news dropped this week on a fragrance brand that we're both, I'd say, you know, fans of, a niche fragrance brand.
I pinged you a little message, didn't I?
You discovered the news, Steve, so I will let you divulge the news to our listeners.
Yeah, now, we've not had anything official. You was having a mooch on the sort of Instagram page of the house, and I've not seen it, but I saw an image. So unless it's an elaborate hoax and mock-up, but it seems legit. So somebody shared an image. I think it was on one of the Facebook groups there. I think it was Redolescence's Facebook group. So someone shared an image there for the new Parfum de Marly fragrance. And it's the fragrance is, now Chris and I were discussing how we're going to pronounce this. So we're going to throw a few different versions into this just to make sure we covered all bases. So it's either Odysseus or Odysseus, isn't it? I think the two ways we
I've
said it.
Always pronounced it Odysseus, but I'm not saying that is correct. You might be correct. But
I think it could be Odysseus, but when I started breaking it down phonetically, I was thinking, okay, Odysseus. But I think I'm quite renowned for mispronouncing things, so it's probably more than likely I'm not getting it right. But, I mean, the note breakdown's right up my street. I was, like, a bit excited about this. So at the top, there's Valencia Orange. There's a Calabrian Lemon, Green Mandarin, Yuzu Mint. In the mids, there's Ginger, Geranium, Jasmine, and Juniper Berries. And in the base, there's Patchouli, Sandalwood, Amber, and White Musk.
And I mean, it's talking the talk. It's saying all the right things to me, I've got to say.
That is right up my street, from that note breakdown. And I love the colour orange as well. So the bottle is a nice bright orange colour. So I really want to get my nose on that.
I feel like it's going to be a little creamy maybe, because, you know, with the sandalwood and the amber and white musk, so it's going to have depth. But I feel like it's contrasting this depth. It's going to have those lovely sparkly top notes, like, you know, with the orange and the mandarin and the yuzu and the mint. A bit of spiciness in there with the ginger as well.
I don't know if this is positive or negative, a compliment or an insult, but I wonder if it might be like a niche version of like Lalique's Happy, in which case part of me would be like, well, it's a niche version, you know, it's a very expensive version of Happy. But
Lalique,
conversely, Clinique, sorry, yeah, I've got Lalique on my brain from the conversation earlier. Clinique's Happy, sorry. So part of me would be like, oh, it's quite an expensive version of that. But then conversely, if they've done a very good quality version of that that performs, and I'm sure it's not going to be a clone, it's not going to smell exactly like it, but if that performs, because Clinique's Happy is not a performer, I think we all know that. If it performs really well and it's like a sort of, like you say, a richer, deeper, better performing version, then I could definitely be tempted to pick up a bottle, quite frankly.
Well, I mean, they've got good history with well-performing fragrances. I don't know if I know a Parfum de Marly fragrance. Even their fresher ones perform really well from the ones I've worn, like Percival and Galloway.
Chris, you've got to say on me. You've got to cover your ass and say it performs well on me. Because you know there'll be comments
maybe
going.
Maybe not everyone.
Yeah. People are like, no, it doesn't. It's shit. It only lasts 30 minutes on my skin. So you've got to say on me. That is
on
the YouTuber
me.
Gouge right. free card.
My bad. Yeah. You're right, mate. Thanks for pulling me up on that. But I recently smelled for the first time when I was in London a few weeks ago, Greenly, which is a sort of a fresh, very sort of fruity fragrance, and that smells strong to me for that style of fragrance.
That,
it smells,
that wasn't particularly well received, was it, from memory?
I saw generally positive stuff about it, but I don't think I saw anyone like really hating on it. Did you?
No, I think it was a lot of people were sort of
a bit lukewarm, maybe.
Yeah, but I think a bit underwhelmed. I think the trouble is, I think, again, being a niche house and carrying a niche price and with some of the history, I think people sometimes expect a lot from PDM. So that's why they've sort of almost a victim of their own success in many ways, that I think people, if it's not amazing, beastly performing, then people kind of like, yeah, they're sort of a bit underwhelmed. So, yeah, I don't think it was bad, but people were like, well, it's okay, but, you know, not great. So I've literally
just loaded up
the page.
I'm feeling positive at this stage, so I hope I'm not proved wrong when it gets released. Looking forward to smelling that.
So just because I've not smelt Greenlee, so you like it though. So would you own Greenlee? Would you wear it?
Yeah, I would. I think I loved it. I put it on my hand, so I was smelling it for a few hours and it lasted. It smelled great. I kept getting really nice wafts. It's one that you could wear in the summer, but I think easily would be amazing as a spring fragrance too. You know, I mean, autumn, it would work autumn and winter. Some, you know, maybe if you like seasonal fragrances and you prefer darker notes for winter, perhaps you wouldn't go to it, but it would still, you know, you'd still carry it off. But I liked it, yeah. Yeah, I wonder why they didn't call this one Orangely.
I mean, that's a bit easier, nice, than easy marketing then, isn't it?
Yeah, Greenlee, Orangely, Bluely. It's a bit easier than Odysseus, since neither of us know whether we're saying it right, or at least Orangely, we know we're saying that right.
It's probably a hard G, Orangely.
Orangely.
just to fuck people up, they just go, no, it's pronounced Orangely. It's like hyacinth bouquet instead of bucket.
Yeah.
That's a very English joke there. I think only the English listeners are going to kind of pick that one up.
But, orangey. I think they should just come with orangey. I mean, why orangey. Not? Why complicate
it? Smells orangey.
Yeah. There's got to be a racehorse called Orangey out there somewhere.
Probably, yeah. Mm. That's a good shout. Yeah, because Greenlee got renamed, didn't it? Which they sort of brushed on the table a little bit. But
I've forgotten what it was called initially. Can you remember? But it was released as something else.
Yeah, because there was a couple of videos dropped and then they got replaced. So yeah, because there was another fragrance, wasn't it? People will be posting in the Facebook group tomorrow morning about this now.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was now, but it definitely got renamed because there was another fragrance that sort of had that moniker.
That's right. Have we got any other news that we wanted to?
Nigel's back, isn't he? Nigel's been a bit quiet at Two Cents Worth. We normally shout him out. He's been really quiet. I actually messaged him a few weeks ago and just went, "Oh, just thought I'd check in on you, mate. You've been a bit quiet." And he went, "Yeah, just having a little break for the summer." Yeah. So he's just he normally has a few weeks off in the summer just to kind of recalibrate and enjoy some time with the family. So he's doing that. He did a live, didn't he, with Mr. Smelly?
Yeah. Well, he's had a few months off, hasn't he? A couple of months off, and he come back to do the live, and you know, he grafted for Saturday night. Now he's having another 6 weeks off.
Bless him. Yeah. I must admit, I've not seen anything from the live, so I'm gonna have to try and catch up on it afterwards. Because
it's great.
Dan's always interesting because he's always very open and honest. Like, you know, I've seen interviews where people ask him about his sponsorships or whatever, and he just sort of says, yeah, they've, you know, I've received this, I've been sponsored to do that or whatever. And I really found his video on the trolls quite refreshing as well, where he just kind of went head on and addressed all of the essentially the criticisms and the trolly comments that he's got.
Yeah.
So he sort of just addressed that, didn't he? That was a really interesting video.
I think that's not easy to do, because you could quite easily just continue to stir up the drama by doing that. But the way that Dan approaches these subjects, I think there's no one else that I know in Fradcom that can do it. But Dan is so sort of thoughtful and eloquent. He talks about these subjects so thoughtfully and eloquently, and describes, and every time he tackles a subject, like with the trolls video, I always think, wow, man, I wish I could have described it and tackled that in the way that you did, because he just nailed it. He uses all the right language. He has the right attitude towards it. He's not saying, oh, you're hating on me, and you know, you bastards. And I think he does really well at that, Dan. And I don't think many people could sort of tackle the drama and get away with it. But he does, because he does it in a very well thought out way. I do love listening to Dan talk about subjects.
It's interesting.
Like,
I think what I really respect as well is Dan has a very fresh, not to say fresh, but a very good attitude towards being on YouTube. He sort of knows that if you do YouTube, you put yourself out there, you're going to get these comments. So he just doesn't let them affect him. I think he's quite self-assured and confident in himself, so he doesn't let it knock him. So he's happy to talk about it without taking it too personally. And he actually has made a comment before, like offline, that he actually quite likes getting trolled. He sort of almost gets a kick out of it. And I've sort of said this in the past as well, what with the old sort of frag jokes and all this, that if you don't let it bother you, if you can sort of make sure that it doesn't, then it's just a bit of fun, isn't it? And you can
He's very wise. He comes across as very wise, Dan, I think. And I'm sure you'd disagree if he was listening to this right now, because he's very humble. But you know, he would say that if you're getting trolled, I think he did say this in Nigel's live, that if you're getting trolled, that's just a sign of your success. And the more you get trolled, the more successful you are. You know, for example, he said, look at Jeremy. And it's true. You know, the bigger you are, the bigger your audience is, the bigger your potential audience, the more likely you're going to get some meanies, some jerks having a pop at you.
I'm sure you won't mind what you're saying, but I also really liked it when he attached the tackle approach about people commenting on his hair. He gets like from the physical side, he gets people kind of giving grief for different things, but from the appearance side, people always, you know, say, oh, shave your head, mate, do this. And someone commented saying that you need, I can't remember the name of this condition, where basically almost like tattooing, like, so it looks like your hairline.
Oh yeah, like Sean Ryder.
Yeah. And I just, again, he just approached it, he just wasn't bothered. He just sort of thought it was quite funny. But yeah, it was just like, and it was genuine. It was like, I just think, if I shave my head, I think it looks a bit harsh, even though it is receding. I just think it looks a bit softer and a little bit more sort of nice and approachable. Like, yeah, but it's funny, isn't it? Because people are so vocal on, they're happy to go, well, you should do this, you should do that. It's like, well, it's not your fucking face, is it? It's not your head. It's like, just don't look. It's funny. It's like, just let them do what they want to do, really. But anyway.
Yeah, but you should go back and listen to that live, because Nigel, you know Nigel, he's a great interviewer. He really gets into it. He's not afraid to get stuck in, so he does ask some awkward questions. He talks about, you know, Dan's early years on YouTube, how he feels about YouTube generally, and they got into all those tasty subjects that you might expect Nigel would get into with Dan, and it was a great listen, actually. I ended up just, I was laying in the tent last night, you know, in my sleeping bag with my down jacket up and my hood on and keeping warm, and I just had my headphones in. I was listening to those two have a chat, and it was great. I really recommend that anyone who's not gone to Nigel's channel, 2 cents worth on YouTube. It's two and a half hours plus, but it's all good. It's gold. It's a really good, just have it on in the background. If you've got a drive or something, highly recommend listening to that.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that this week. I've got a few drives to do, so I'll probably
nice one, Nige. And I know you'll be listening, Nige. Well done. Really enjoyed it. And seriously, enjoy your rest. Enjoy your time off. Enjoy that time that you're gonna have this summer with your family. And we're looking forward to you coming back, feeling a bit fresher later in the year.
Cool. Yeah, look forward to it. Shall we do a little happy ending?
Yeah, let's have a happy ending.
It is a little one as well, actually. It is from someone that regularly frequents our arse. So if anybody joins in later on now, they'd be like, what the fuck? So again, just a little reminder, arse is short for audience recognition section. So this person has been in there before. It's Dean Thanos. I'm sure he won't mind me kind of shouting out his full name there, because he's supported us for a long time. He's on our YouTube channels and in the Facebook group.
Cheers, Dean.
So he's sent, it's a nice short little quick sort of amusing situation that happened to him that is fragrance related. So he sent me an email and said, this is short but to the point. My 5-year-old daughter loves when the wife and I read her books, morning, afternoon, evening, before she goes to bed, etc. The other day, after she woke up, she insisted that I read her a story while she was on the toilet. Lovely. It's funny, those things you do as a parent, isn't it? That you sort of that stuff you just wouldn't do to your wife, but yeah, you have to kind of put up with. As I'm reading her the story, she stops me and says, Papa, you stink. To which, shall we check again? You've got to love the children's honesty. To which I replied, oh, really? I know. I'll spray on some perfume, thinking I was clever. Her response was, spray it in your mouth. You got to hand it to kids for their honesty, he says. So, yeah, that's it. Thanks, Dean. Thanks for that. A lovely little amusing situation. Kids are brutally honest in that regard.
Yes, they
that's
are.
That's funny. Here's a little parenting kind of question. Have you ever had you know, when you obviously you change your language around children, has that ever almost like become unchangeable? Like, basically the situation I've got now is, when my little boy started at nursery, we wasn't sure what to call like farts, basically. So when you pass wind, so we hadn't really had to sort of discuss it at that stage, because when he started, he was, you know, you didn't need to. But they basically, it turns out nursery, they called them pops. So they're like, oh, you've done a little pop, that's fine.
Oh, I like
that's,
that.
Yeah, it's quite, cool. I thought that's quite cute. It's quite a nice little thing. It's like, oh, a little pop. And he still says it now. He's like, oh, I popped. And the other day he had to leave our bedroom because he's like, oh, daddy's done some stinky pops in there, I'm leaving, or whatever. So he left. And the trouble is now, my wife and I were saying about this the other day, I find I use that all the time. It's like I'm scared I'm going to be down the pub with the lads, yeah, or whatever, and I'll be like, oh, I tell you what, I did a really stinky pop the other day. You know, what the fuck are you talking about, mate?
Yeah, it's, it just becomes really, the norm, doesn't it?
Yeah, it throws me. And when people say fart, I think, oh, that's a bit harsh. It's like a swear word, that is.
It's like someone's just dropped a C-bomb.
Yeah, it's weird how your sort of language and your attitude changes with kids. But there you go.
It is, I know. Yeah, we call them pumps.
Ah, that's quite a cool. Or trumps, I think, is another one some kids get used, because yeah, they're all sort of quite soft language.
Bottom and burps.
And it's a funny one. I don't want to kind of go too much on a tangent here, but for genitalia, it's everybody knows that like a willy is a nice safe term to use for youngsters, but for the ladies' part, there's a real challenge there. We've just gone for a newer word, which I think's come from The Only Way Is Essex, but a noonie is one they use.
Yeah.
And that's what it's a hard one to sort of find a sort of relatively okay word for everyone.
It
but
is.
There we go.
Yeah. We were talking about the genitalia at the dinner table of the week, and Lily's been watching. Yeah, like you do. Lily's been watching this program about the zoo. It's on Channel 4. It's like a documentary at Chester Zoo, Secret Life of the Zoo. So it's actually really good, because through this program, she's sort of learning about the birds and the bees, because they talk about what animals get up to. And you know what animals get up to sometimes, you know, some pretty freaky stuff. And so she's just sort of put two and two together and thought, well, humans essentially must be doing the same sort of thing. So it's saving us the awkward conversations. But she did say what's the ladies' bits called, and I just thought, why sort of, if she wants to know, I'll just tell her. So you know, Evie's nearly 7 and Lily's 9. I thought, you know, I don't want them to grow up, you know, and get to 22 and not know the real name for the part of their genitalia. So I thought it was my duty. So I just said, yeah, you know, but vagina and penis. And I just said it, and I didn't make a deal of it. I just sort of said it in passing, and I didn't want it to become a like taboo word. So I just said them, and she just went, oh, I don't like that word. I'm not saying that about my own. Oh no, I'm not doing, not saying that.
Oh, bless her.
She didn't like the sound of it. So there you go. I mean, it's not an elegant sounding word, if I'm honest. I've got to say, no, neither of them are, but it's just because of what we associate, I guess. Yeah. But anyway, in the podcast that we termed the section arse, we have got a little bit blue about the subject. So
anyway, I think that's it. So I guess before you sign off and maybe shout out our sponsor and how people can get involved, I'm just going to say thank you, everybody. We do keep sending those fragrance fails or scent stories, etc. in. I love to see them, and we'll. I have had some others, so if yours hasn't been read out, don't worry, it will come probably in next week's episode. But do keep sending them in, because we love those. So thank you. Other than that, don't forget to buy us a coffee, please, on the Ko-fi account. Other than that, I will stay quiet and let Chris sign out. Bye.
Cheers, Steve. Yeah, it's been a pleasure as usual. Don't forget to enter our Kajal Perfumes giveaway. All you need to do is go to their Instagram, find the photograph that has the Scent Geeks written on the picture of the bottle that is the giveaway this month. Repost that on your social media. Make sure you tag Kajal Perfumes in, and you are in with a shout to win either the full bottle or the discovery set. So yeah, go and do it, guys. Okay, that's it from us. Thank you for listening. Hope you all have a good week. We will be here for you next week. And don't forget, boys have a penis and girls have a vagina. Have a week, geeks.
Bye.
We were the same.